Hey everybody, this is Sophie and welcome to episode 83 of the Big Boo Cast. As you probably know by now, we may have mentioned it once or 49 times. This week we have been celebrating the release of Melanie's fourth book called Church of the Small Things. And this podcast episode is all about just that, some of our very favorite small things, things that bring us a whole lot of joy that aren't necessarily the fanciest. Before we get started, though, I wanted to take a minute to talk about one of our favorite snacks, Kind Bars. If you're like Melanie and I are, you are always on the lookout for really nutritious and tasty snack options, especially during the school year when you're looking for something that you can throw in a lunchbox or grab for a quick breakfast on the way out of the door. Kind Bars are a key to our school time happiness. They taste great. They're made with ingredients that we recognize and we can actually say them. That's precisely why I'm so excited to tell you about a special deal with the Kind Snack Club for listeners of the Big Boo Cast. If you order a sample box from the Kind Snack Club, you'll get to try 10 Kind Bars for free. You only have to pay shipping. After you order the sample box, you'll receive monthly Kind Snacks at a discount and you'll receive members-only bonuses. I happen to be a big fan of their peanut butter breakfast bar. Melanie loves their dark chocolate nuts and sea salt bar. And the sample box includes those two options as well as other great flavors. And it also includes their Kind pressed fruit bars. I think you will love this 10 snack sample box. And remember, all you have to pay is shipping. So if you'd like to try it, go to kindsnacks.com/bigboo. That's kindsnacks.com/BIGBOO for full details. And if you decide that it's not for you, you can cancel your Kind Snack Club membership at any time. But I think you're going to like all the Kind goodness that comes to you in the mail. Melanie and I are fans for sure. Alrighty, as always, we are so grateful that y'all have joined us and we hope you enjoy episode 83 as we discuss some of the small things that bring us a whole lot of happiness. Here we go. Hey, everybody. This is Sophie. This is Big Mama.
Hey, it's Melanie. It's Big Mama.
And this is a really big week because it is the week of Church of the Small Things, which is Melanie's new book.
It is. It is that week. So I'm mentally prepared and I need a nap.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say it's a super low key week.
Caw.
Super.
And it, like book release weeks to me are the best and the worst. You know what I mean? Like it's so fun to see everybody like supporting you and being kind. But then you also look on and you're like, God, I'm sick of myself. I'm so sick of myself. And then, you know, that's pretty much it. That sums it up.
Yeah. And there's also too, I think the night before a book release, even though people have read your book and you know, if you had a launch team or you had readers beforehand or whatever, there's that whole thing where you sort of mentally go back through everything that you've written and you wonder like how that thing's going to fly.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. You're like, oh, yeah, maybe. Well, especially because by the time, I don't know if people realize too, by the time they come out, it's been so long since you've written those words that sometimes you don't know until somebody says, oh, I loved when you said, or I didn't like when you said, and you're like, oh, I didn't even remember I said that. You know, it's been so long ago.
I know. You forget.
Yeah, you forget.
Do you think, 'cause
you've already moved on to other stuff.
So this is the fourth book for you. The fourth released book. Book five is already in the hopper.
Well, it's by in the hopper, if you mean that it's a vague idea somewhere inside my head.
Well, no, the
devotional.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's true. That's true. But that feels like a different, that's like a subset.
Oh no, I count it. It counts. No, ma'am. How many books have you written? I've written four. No. Yes, four.
Well, And Lord knows those devotionals took a lot more out of us than the other ones.
So you've written five, sister, but this is four.
No wonder I'm so tired.
No wonder you're so tired. Listen, somebody.
Exhausted.
You can hardly stand, much less talk on a podcast. My word.
No. Good night. I'm going to go take a nap right now.
No kidding. I'm not going to give away your business, but there's other stuff that's been going on too. So, writing wise. So, would you say this book number four, how was that for you? And I know the answer to this question, but that's why I'm going to ask it. How would you say, Big Mama, that book four was for you as you wrote it? How would you say that was?
It was excruciating.
Yeah.
And awful.
Yeah.
It was horrendous and terrible. Mm-hmm. I just think it gets so much harder. I mean, you know this. It's like when you've written multiple books, there's all this stuff that lives in your head. And part of the whole thing is you can't remember if I've already said that, if I've already told that story, all that stuff. So you have that thing where, I mean, I can't even tell you how many times I'd write something and I'd be like, that is really good. Well, I liked that because I had already put that in another book that I had written.
It was such a great story. I was enjoying it actually for about the third time. Mm-hmm.
It gives you insight into what you might be like at a dinner party. Mm-hmm. Ma'am, I've already heard that story, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I just think each one gets harder. Don't you think each one gets harder?
Yeah, I think each one is different. I don't think any book ever will be as hard for me as that second one was. I don't know. You know, I was just with The Home Is Where My People Are. For some reason, that one was agonizing. And I think part of that was just sort of where, like, it was just kind of what life was like at that time. It was a lot to fit writing a book into that time. But yeah, it does. It gets I've got an idea now for the next book. And I think I even know like what the chapters are about. And I told a friend of mine at church that I feel like I know all the pieces and parts of it, but I can't get started on it because once you get started, you can't unstart it. Like,
no.
You know what I mean? Like once you start it, you're in it. And I feel like I'm not ready to be in it again.
Yeah, you're living in that mental space. And I think that the thing is that it follows you for so long. Like you write it and then it lives with you for so long. And I feel like with each of my books, God very much works me over in that place of whatever the book is about that
time.
Yes,
like, ma'am.
I haven't even told you this, but we had ladies worship night a while back. We just had our first one of the fall. And in the past, we've always had like, I don't know, like 50, 60 women or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's a lot of work to put that together. I mean, it's a lot of like getting everything together and planning, and it's a weeknight. And so, August, our worship leader, she's got young kids. And so whatever. And we had 14 women show up.
Okay.
And after it was over, August was like, what do you think? And I said, I don't know. And then I just looked at her and I said, I just have to apologize to you. I said, this is because I have written a book called Church of the Small Things.
That's right.
I said, this is my fault. And I said, so God's calling me on it. Like, do you really believe that? Are you really going to live in the place of the small things? And I said, and that's why my next book is going to be called My Big Fat Vacation to the Cayman Islands. Because I'm going to live in that place.
That's right.
While.
Yeah. Challenge me on that, Lord. Sift me, Lord. Yes.
Because I do think it's true. I mean, I think that whatever you're writing about, whether it's that it stirs up a lot of feelings about that, or it's just, and I feel like because you and I always have a spiritual component, I do feel like it's a place where God is like, okay, I'm going to test you on this.
Yeah.
So, So I feel like I'm like, well, I'm in a literal church of small things.
It's like you can't write it if it's not, you can't write it if it's not true. Like if it's not where you really are. And so if you're trying to write something that might not be where you really are, or if there are places that still aren't where you really are with that thing, it's like the Lord says, well, let's uncover that a little bit. Like let's dig in right at that spot and see what that's about. I think that's why the second book was so hard. It's because I was trying to write about God's hand in all the different places that we find ourselves over the course of our lives. And there were some places where I was still angry. There were some places where I was still sad. And where, and so I think you kind of have to walk through that part of it. And so I like your idea, though, about my big fat vacation to the Cayman Islands. I think that's a great strategy.
I feel good about that. Mm-hmm. I feel good about that. I feel like that's going to be a good, safe, and it's just going to be maybe chapters about all my bucket list things that I would like to go do.
That's right.
You know,
that time I went parasailing.
Napa Valley. Mm-hmm. Yes. That time the Aggies went undefeated and I went to the national championship game. That time... I don't know.
My wrinkles that disappeared. Time,
Yes. Yes. That time that I woke up and looked like I was 25 all of a sudden.
There you go.
I'm going to try to live in that space. So
here was what was neat to me, though, when you were working on Church of the Small Things, is because you kept second guessing yourself about if this was really what the book was supposed to be.
Yes.
I don't know if you remember that or not. But it was like every time you would second guess it and you would think you wanted to shift. And it was like the Lord kept bringing you back to it and bringing you back to it and bringing it back to you, bringing you back to it and bringing you back to it in your real life over and over and over again. And from a distance, that was kind of neat to watch. I'd probably up close, it was not as enjoyable. But from a distance, it was very encouraging.
Isn't that how it always is in somebody else's life where you're like, I'd love to see God. That's because I remember feeling that when you were writing Home Is Where My People Are, where I was like, this is fascinating how he's bringing you back around to these places and these people and, you know,
these
coming
mistakes
back
to and these,
and how he's redeeming them and working you through them and you're getting closure and all that stuff. It's great to watch when it's not happening to you.
Yes. Yes. But I love this book. I love this book because I've said this before, but I think you get more personal. You've gotten more personal. Not that you've ever been guarded when you wrote, but I feel like you kind of open up deeper and deeper parts of your heart, especially with these last two. And so, and this one, I think especially is really, it's very tender, which it's very tender and very, it's very encouraging. And I think that people are going to love it because it kind of runs countercultural to what we hear all the time, you know? And
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's funny because I do feel like when I started writing it, I didn't really know what it was going to be. As you know, that I mean, all the afternoons I called you, I believe that was when I was in my big dog park stage and I would call you from the dog park every day and say, what about this title? What about this title? What about this? What about, you know, whatever. I think there was the day I had the breakdown when I found out that Shauna Nyquist's book was Present Over Perfect and I had come up with something. Remember that it was going to be called something?
Presently Perfect.
No. Presently Perfect.
Was that it? It was something. It was along those lines. And then Shauna's book, we found out about that title and you were like, so I guess that's a no for me. I guess that's probably not going to.
That title isn't going to fly. Mm-hmm. But you kind of go. But it was funny because I knew that in this book, I wanted to talk about my grandparents. And so but I was like that, you know how we always say, then you find like, what's that thread? And I'm like, the thread is that they didn't live these big, fancy, glamorous lives. Mm-mm. That never even occurred to them because that wasn't something you did. You just showed up and did what you were supposed to do. And just how much that mattered. And I think there's so many people that feel that same way about their parents and their grandparents and all that stuff. So it's like the small things came to me kind of through that, if that makes sense, because it is countercultural now, you know, like now we're all supposed to have a YouTube video so we can get famous or whatever, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the world's so different. There was something yesterday, there's so much stuff that I see now, like either on social media or on television or that I read about, and I can hear my mama's voice saying, well, that is just the silliest thing I have ever seen in my life. You know what I mean? Like, we're just all, we chase after kind of crazy things compared to the way that our parents lived and the way that our grandparents lived. And I think especially our generation, Gen X people, we didn't grow up with most of us didn't grow up with a whole lot of extravagance or a whole lot of big things, but somehow our generation as parents, we've decided that we need to have these incredible lives for our kids. And I think we get mixed up sometimes on what that means or what that actually looks like, you know, as it plays out.
Yeah, I agree that it's like we forget that childhood in and of itself is pretty good, you know, most of the time. So we don't necessarily have to go the Disney Princess breakfast by the time they're two.
Right. Yeah, they're going to be fine if they don't they don't get to do that. Everybody's going to be okay. So I actually sat down, or was actually sitting down, but when I decided that I was going to make a list of some small things that I love, and I went sort of like, I went kind of big picture, sort of poetic with my list, and then you made a list of things that are a little bit more specific, like we typically talk about.
Yes.
So we're just going to kind of go back and forth about some small things that make us super happy, where we find deep joy and deep contentment. I've had a whole thing recently, I don't even know if we've talked about this, but it keeps coming back up, where I think so many times that we don't see a whole lot of contentment right now. So I think when we really are content, I think it's its own little sermon. You know, I think when we're really, when we're really not chasing after a whole bunch of mythical unicorns, but really resting in the lives that God has given us, I think that contentment almost is like a balm, you know, in a real hurried, busy world. You're welcome for that. I read a devotional just now. I forgot to tell you I was about to do that.
Good. No.
Sorry.
I like it. No, but I think, don't you even have that thing though, sometimes if I'm sitting there and I feel like I'm completely content in that moment, I have that tendency that I pick at it. Like, am I forgetting something that I'm supposed to not be happy about? You know?
Am I supposed to be somewhere right now? Like, does somebody need a ride and I forgot?
Am I forgetting something I'm supposed to be worrying about? Because I feel real good right now, but I'm going to sit and analyze it and see if I'm supposed to maybe be worried about something that I forgot to be worried about, you know?
Oh. No doubt. So we're just going to talk just in celebration of church, of the small things and release week, and everybody kind of getting to meet Church of the Small Things this week for the first time. We're going to talk about some small things that we really, really love. And we're just going to go back and forth with my sort of big picture things and Melanie's more specific things. Does this sound like a good plan?
My more shallow list of things. We're going to go deep, and then we're going to go shallow.
We haven't talked about our list, but mine is not necessarily deep. I will say, probably if you were to pick it up randomly, you would think, I'm pretty sure an English major wrote this down.
Okay.
Like, I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe you'll hear it and go like, no. Okay, ready?
I'm ready, yeah.
Okay, so here was the first thing that came to mind, and I bet you could even guess it if you had to. But my first thing that I love, it happens every single day, that you know makes me so, so happy, is just a sunset.
Mm-hmm. I knew that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I knew that. Mm-hmm. I knew that.
Shocking.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But I do. I love a sunset. A couple of days ago, I got an email from a guy I taught in 11th grade English. He's at Auburn now. And it said, Miss Hudson, I did a speech on sunsets and I'm going to send you a copy. And I said, okay, that'd be awesome. So he did. He sent me a copy of it and it would make you so happy. He had a whole thing like about the way he said it was that God paints a picture for us every evening and we just get to sit and take it in. And that's it. Like, and everyone is different. And every one of them, for some reason, makes me think about how big God is and how creative he is and how he gives us all this beauty around us and how good his creation is. Like, I just love them. And I was coming back from Starkville a couple of weeks ago and there was a sunrise and I thought, okay, that's not so bad either. I don't mind that, but I see the sunset more often.
Yeah. I like a sunrise. It's funny. I love both, but when Caroline and I at Labor Day, we were playing in a tournament in Dallas and we had to be there at one point as the sun was rising. We were driving and I said, wow, I said, look how amazing that is. And she said, you know, it does that every morning. And I was like, I know, but you know, who's not usually up for it? Me. So I appreciate every 6 months sunrise. Yes. It's really beautiful. It makes me think, I kind of wish I was a morning person. So maybe I saw more of them, but not bad enough to set my alarm.
Right, right. Well, if I'm up, I'm going to go take it in as much as I can. And the other thing I think about a sunset too, for some reason, it, no matter what has gone on over the course of a day, it has a way, it just kind of shifts everything back into perspective for me. I don't know. It's just peaceful. I love them. A whole bunch.
Yeah, that's good. It's good.
Okay,
yeah.
What's the first thing on your list?
Well, I feel really bad because I'm be like, I love the sunset. I love the beauty of God's creation. I'm going to tell you what I am really loving right now is Barefoot Dreams. That new Blarney King with the hood.
Okay. Let's talk about that for a second. That
Thank
and
you
a
for
sense...
being enthusiastic because I feel real shallow going from sunset to I enjoy my Blartigan.
Okay. But let's talk about that thing. It's the Barefoot Dreams. It's the new cardigan that has a hood.
It's called like the Coastal Hooded Chic Cardigan.
It is the softest item of clothing I have ever put on my body. It is like angel feathers.
Yeah.
Essentially. Yep.
And it's the perfect length because it's long, and I've been wearing mine as a robe, but I also will plan to wear it out of my house when the weather cools off.
Yeah. I would say that is definitely something that and a sunset might just send me over some edge of joy.
If you put that together on our trip to the Cayman Islands that I feel certain is in my future based on my book.
That's right. That you've spoken into being.
I mean, that would be perfection.
It's real good. And I have a couple of those that I've gotten in years past. But I have to say, this new one is really good. It's something else.
It's the best one because it's almost a little bit thinner, I feel like, than the other ones. And the arms have more room in them. Like the other ones, the arms, I felt like every time I'd get out of the dryer, it was a little tight. And this one just feels like you can just drape it on you. And I can't promise that I'm not going to put that hood up at some point when the weather gets cold.
With a mug of coffee in your hands, right up by your face. I got the whole thing right now.
Yeah, it's dreamy. It is something else. So that's a small thing. It's making me real happy.
It's one of those things too. It feels cozy and it feels, you know, when you've got something like that on, like that you're either dressed for comfort or you're home. And like about to be super comfortable. So I highly, highly recommend that little cardigan. It's so good.
Yeah, it is good.
Okay, here's my second thing. Again, this is not going to be a surprise. This is not quite so maybe worthy of poetry as a sunset. But I love a ball field and or tailgate situation.
Yes, ma'am.
Never thought that I would be this person, but I do love going to like Alex's football games or high school football games or state games, whatever. But I really like being up under a tent with some people. I enjoy it. And then I love to sit in the stands with all the other parents whose kids are playing. I like to sit in a folding chair at a baseball game. Any of those things I'm on board for. They make me so happy.
I totally agree with that. I mean, I was thinking that because we had a home football game Friday night, and I'm like, I love the whole thing. I love the band. I love the people watching. I love the whole experience. And that to me is why fall is such a great time of year, because spring, there's nothing that like really gathers you like that, you know?
Right.
But I love that.
I know. Last year, we started setting up a tent at the high school football games, at our home games, with the people who in our small group from church who also have kids at the same school. And we tried one time to like really cook, and it was kind of a nightmare. And I don't know if you know this, but teenagers like to eat. And so we had pretty much no food for some of the adults by the time everything was cooked, because all the teenagers had eaten it, which was fine. But now everybody just goes and picks up something, and we sit under that tent, and we are kind of positioned in a place where we can see lots of people walk up to the game. So you get to visit there. And then like, you know, there are different points in the game. We can go in late. We can go back to the tent if we want to. But it just, I don't know. It's so relaxing. So fun.
Okay. I love that. I love that. Well, and I think that ties into, because I was thinking one of my things in a big picture kind of thing, and I told Perry this yesterday, is I thought, no, but I don't think anything, and I think every parent feels this way no matter what your child's passion is or what they love. But like I told Perry, I said, as we kind of get to this 4-year countdown of Caroline, you know, 4 years left of high school or whatever, I said, I really think the thing that I'm going to mourn the most is not getting to watch her play soccer anymore. Like when that time comes, I feel like just because there's something about that, it's being out there and being able to watch your child is like, to me, there's just nothing like that. I didn't know how fun that was. So
yeah, and being able to watch their friends too, I think is so fun. And you kind of get to know their friends in a different way, and you kind of get to, I don't know, the whole, it's it's such a sense of community. And I would not have thought that at all when Alex was a lot younger, but it's the sweetest sense of community to be in those stands. And to, there was a, at Alex's game a couple of weeks ago, one of the eighth grade boys, and they had, was towards the end of the game, intercepted the ball. And as soon as he did it, I looked straight at his parents. Like, I couldn't wait to see, you know, their face. Yep. Like, I don't know, the whole thing. I just, best thing
it's
going.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's the kids that you have, like last night, well, we had a game and then it was right at homecoming and it was a lot of the girls on the team because they all go to different schools, but it was their homecoming. So then like looking at all their Facebook pictures that night as their parents were putting up, and it's like all these girls that we've known since they were 10, mm-hmm. you know, and that we normally see on the soccer field, and to see them like dressed up and in their heels and their hair and the whole thing. It's just like, I don't know. I'm like, I love, it just goes back to, I love this stage of parenting. I love this stage of life, and seeing these kids grow up, I think is just something.
Okay. So what's your next thing?
My next thing is, I'm going to tell you that you don't know this about me, and I'm about to tell you about a product that I have gotten into lately.
Okay. Okay.
I have discovered kombucha.
Okay. And
I've been saving
is.
This for a podcast. Uh-huh. I've been saving. I nearly texted it to you the other night. I was like, no, I'm saving it for a podcast.
I don't even know what to do with this right now. I'm a little wide-eyed, but I'm listening.
I'm going to tell you. Okay. So kombucha, in case you don't know, it's like a sweetened tea, and it's like fermented. And
that's
so it becomes
really the part I want to come back to in a minute.
Yeah.
But keep going.
But supposedly it has all these health benefits. So it's got a lot of probiotics in it. So it's supposed to be good for your immune system. It's supposed to be good for your skin. It's supposed to be good for your hair. It's supposed to be good for your digestion.
Yeah.
All
it's
of these
really good
things.
For your gut health.
Yes. So randomly I was at Central Market and I was looking for something else. I think I was getting orange juice, but they had like refrigerated this kombucha, and it was called Holy Cleanse is what it was. Yeah. So I'm going to say that I got that one. This is all I'm going to say about it. It worked.
Okay.
But that's it. But I will say, but then I went to Trader Joe's and I like that one. Okay. Then I went to Trader Joe's and I was there, and they have one that's called cayenne pepper.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Lemonade. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure, because for our northern friends, they may be like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, cayenne. Mm-hmm. But it's like a spicy lemonade. It's carbonated. And I'm going to tell you, like, I have to limit myself to one a day. I think it's so delicious.
Seriously?
Yes, I love it. But it's kind of, you know what it is? It's the same reason I like a michelada. Like, it's that kind of vinegary, spicy, but lemony. But it's taken away because it's carbonated, it's my carbonated fix. So I drink one of those in the afternoon instead of a Diet Coke.
Okay, so it has helped you to kick the Diet Coke. You were always so good about that, though, with your one-a-day Diet Coke, please. But still.
Well, I know, but still, I felt like you start to feel like even one a day is maybe not the best for you.
I know,
You know, so, no, it's so delicious. And then I also bought, last time I was at Trader Joe's, they have a mint lime, and I bought that one. And it's good, but it's not, to me, as good. I like the spicy one.
Where are they? I'm looking at our Trader Joe's in my head. Where are they in there? Are they over, like, are they refrigerated already?
They're refrigerated already, although the girl told me this time, because I went in at first and I just bought like two, and then I came back and I bought like six.
Okay.
But she said, if you'll call them, you can buy it by the case. Like, they've got it, but then they put them in the refrigerated. So at ours, you walk in, like when our Trader Joe's, you walk in and the flowers are right there. And then there's like a refrigerated, but it's like the refrigerated where like the hummus is.
That's same with us. Yes.
Yeah. Like where the produce is, there's refrigerated bottles right there. Okay. Now I will give you a word of caution. When you get it, it's like the stuff is settled on the bottom.
That's
like some
what
of the,
I thought. You have to shake it up a little bit, don't you?
Yeah. But it's carbonated. And so I'm going to tell you that I learned the hard way. Don't shake that sucker and then open it in your car, because I had kombucha all over my pants.
Sounds a little bit like a medical condition, if you ask me.
And my kombucha was everywhere.
Uh-huh.
So, but if you like that kind of a thing, It's good. And I don't know, you know, I mean, here's the thing. Is it really that healthy for me? I don't know, but I feel like it is. So you got to say, think that the placebo effect alone maybe is something.
No, they say it's great for you. And my friend Erin, and I actually need to ask her about this. We're going to supper in a couple of nights, but her husband makes it.
Well, apparently you can make it, but I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
You're going to stick with what Trader Joe's offers.
But it so fits my, because I looked up because I wanted to be able to, but like it's described as an ancient health tonic. And well, you know that that
as,
really
as
fits.
You know, yes, that's, you know, I've said that's why you are drawn to just about anything that is tied into the ancient times.
Anything
that people have used for generations.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But supposedly it's supposed to help detoxify your liver and increase your energy and your digestion and your mood and all that. So anyway, we'll see. I've only been drinking it like a week, but I am a fan.
Okay. I'm so tickled to know this.
It makes me want to call like Angela Cottrell, because I bet she drinks.
I bet she does too. I bet Angela might make her own, honestly.
She probably does. But it does feel, I feel very healthy drinking it.
Okay. Does it have sugar in it?
It does have some sugars in it, but like a big thing of it, like a big thing is I think 60 calories for like the whole deal. So it's got some sugars in it, but apparently that's just the way it's good sugars. It's like the way it's processed. It's right. Not like refined sugars or anything like that.
Now,
I was just thinking
if it's vinegary, it would need some sugar in order to be something that you could actually drink.
It's definitely got a little bit of something, but I'm telling you, it's good.
Okay. I may try one. I don't know.
It's carbonated. I think you need to try it because you're like me. You like some of that vinegary kind of like,
I do.
I made Caroline today because she was, and I said, try this mint lime. And so she couldn't decide. She was like, I don't know what I'm tasting. Like, I don't know. And she and Perry were not necessarily fans, but I like that kind of weird stuff like that.
Okay. All right. So, I'm about to do a thing and then I'll get to my next little thing, but I think I'm about to try to give up dairy for a few weeks just to see. Like, I've always sort of had this sense that I needed to try that at some point, you know?
And
you know how I feel about cheese,
I was just about to say, you know that cheese is in the dairy family.
Yes. But it's been like for a year, I have felt like I just need to see what that does, if it makes a difference. I don't know. I can't explain it. I just know that I want to try it. So I'm thinking maybe that would be, in the absence of cheese, it would be like a good new treat or something.
Oh, maybe so. That would be good because you're going to need something.
Yeah, I am. I don't know if you know about me and ranch dressing either, but it is made with milk. Yes, it is.
Oh, what are we going to do the next time we get together? I'm be like, would you like a cheese and cracker plate without the cheese and crackers?
No, I didn't say this plate of air.
Can I offer you this plate of air?
Stop it. And I'm doing it for 3 weeks. I'm going to do it for 3 weeks.
Okay, but I'm afraid you're going to be like, it changed my whole life, and then you're going to give up cheese.
I hope not. I don't think I'll ever give up cheese, but I just want to see what it does. Okay. I don't know.
That's fair enough. Okay,
here's my next thing. And this is, I think you may roll your eyes at this one.
Oh, well, I just dropped kombucha on you. Those of us who live in glass houses.
No, but I was just thinking about it. It's one of those parts of my days I don't think about a whole lot because we do this every day, but it makes a big difference in our lives, I think. And it's the post-work catch-up. Like when David comes home from work and I'm cooking supper and I'll kind of get stuff in the oven or whatever. When we sit in the den off our kitchen and we kind of download the day a little bit, and we've done that forever. Mm-hmm. Like we've done that for years and years and years. And I was just thinking about it today, and I thought, one, I think it keeps you talking even when there are times when you don't want to talk. And then two, like if there were a time lapse video of that, it would be really sweet. You know what I mean? Like if somebody had set up a camera in the doorway of that room over the last 12 years. You know, like every day, and the furniture's changed and the layout's changed and all that kind of stuff. But every day we sit in that room. And so that's just one of those little things that I think is kind of routine for us, but it's just sort of what we do. And it's totally free, by the way. Yeah. It costs no money, but it's, I don't know.
And I can attest, because I feel like when I visited you, we've all sat in that room.
Yeah. Yeah, we did.
You know, it's like you and I'll come in from doing something and David's in there and we'll all sit and talk about wherever we've been and what we've done and what's been going on.
Yeah, it's like the catch up room. And so, and Alex and I have gotten to where we sit in there sometimes and we kind of catch up and we don't sit in the living room for these conversations. It's like the place you go to when you just sort of need to share what's kind of going on in the here and now. David got back from a hiking trip not too long ago and we all three sat in there and just sort of like, it's sort of like the decompress room. And so, I don't know, but it's one of those things. It's not anything fancy. Nobody told us to do it, but it's just become part of our day-to-day. And I don't know, it's kind of a comforting little spot.
Little routine. I think it's funny how, see, because that's one of those where you're like, y'all made that, like, that'll be a memory that you weren't intentionally making, right. Like, and you weren't trying to have that be a thing. And I thought that, because at some point in the last, and I think those things kind of come and go, but I think like in just the last year, we've gotten to where we always, and we call it smorgasbord on Sunday nights, which is just means that for dinner on Sunday nights that we do cheese and crackers and some different dips and hummus and fruit and whatever. And we sit there at the coffee table and we eat at the coffee table, which we don't do on a normal night. And we watch some Parks and Rec together and we laugh. And it's like, that's become like our Sunday night, as we know, it's smorgasbord. And like, I don't know when it started or why it started, but like, we all agreed, it's like our favorite meal of the week. We love doing that.
I know those are the sweetest things to me. Like where you didn't like, it's kind of like, how many times have we tried to like family devotion? You know what I mean? You know, there's some stuff you get, or like, there were a few years where I was real hyped up on my Advent calendar and our Advent devotional. You know what I mean? Like, there's things like that. But I don't think at the end of the day, when Alex grows up, I don't think he'll look back and go, oh, those tender times when mama stressed out over the Advent devotional. Like, this is just a natural, organic thing that we do. And it, but I think that there is worship in that thing. You know, like, you're acknowledging people. You know, you're talking
we're
about
all there engaged.
Whatever you've been struggling with, whatever you feel like the Lord is up to, where you're challenged, all those things come up. But I don't know.
But the kids aren't saying, remember that time mom yelled at me because I put the ornaments wrong on the Jesse tree? Remember?
Remember that time when I nearly burned down the house lighting the Advent wreath? There's none of that. But I would say in the past, my pattern has always been like, let's do this thing. You know, we're going to do this as a family. And I'm going to fold up all these pieces of paper and we're going to open them. Like, and that's not ultimately, that's not who we are. Like, that's not who we are. And so this is something that has developed organically and it is who we are. And I think in the end, it's probably going to be time a lot better spent for us.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah, for sure. That's what I think about. I'm like, that's who we are. And in between, we may laugh and talk about funny things and we've had funny things happen, but we're also watching Parks and Rec. So, I mean, we're not reading our Bible. We're eating cheese and watching Parks and Rec. That's who we are as a family.
And not being dismissive of any of those other things. It's just like, as far as a stick-to-itiveness and something that we really have done habitually over years and years and years and years. This is it for us. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I get that. I totally get that. I love it.
What's your next one?
You know what my next one is? And this ties into a deeper thing, I will say. But one of the things that made me so happy recently, which was a small thing, was Kristen Bell, the actress's Insta feed over the hurricane. When she was stuck. Do you follow her on Instagram?
I do not.
Oh, you've got to go back and look at it. So she was stuck in Florida during the hurricane.
Okay.
And somehow, through a series of events, she ended up stuck. She was on like a movie crew. She ended up stuck in this hotel where they also evacuated a lot of senior citizens from a local nursing home.
Okay.
And watching the way she interacted with these, I've always been a Kristen Bell fan. I think she's darling. And I think she and Dax Shepard are darling. And I was a big Veronica Mars fan. But like, watching her, like, it was so inspirational to me, like, watching the way she interacted with those senior citizens who had to be so scared, you know, and they're out of, but I mean, it's like one of them is like, he's serenading her. I mean, he's singing, they're doing wheelchair races down the hallway in the hotel. Like, it was such an example of taking something. Cause I thought there had to be a part of her that is like, I do not want to be stuck here. I've got young kids. I want to be home with my husband or whatever, but she made the best of it. And I felt like she made a really scary experience great for those elderly people who were displaced.
I love that.
I loved it. It's really worth going and following her on Instagram to go back and look at those posts, because they were just the sweetest. Like, I just, and it was so genuine. It did not feel like a PR thing. Like, I'm going to show you, let me show you how amazing I am in the midst of this. It just felt like you were really seeing who she was, and I loved it.
Oh, yeah. I know. I always wonder if I ended up in a situation, maybe not exactly like that, but like a really difficult situation, what I would go to personality wise, like if I would be if I would be the cheerleader and the encourager, or if I'd be the one over in a corner, like turned toward the wall, rocking back and forth. I don't know.
I'd be holed up in my hotel room saying, I don't care that we don't have electricity. Where's my cheese plate?
That's right. That's right. Can I get some ice, please, somehow, people? I need some ice.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But I felt like as horrible as all of these hurricanes and all of this has been, it has really been, I mean, and it is small things, because it's a series of small things. It's just little, it's people helping other people. But to me, there's been so many like little inspirational stories all in the midst of all of it that have really kind of restored my faith in humanity at a time when it just feels like the world is a little dark and scary.
Yes. Yes, it does. Yeah. Just people doing little things that collectively together, it can be a little bit of a game changer in really great ways. Hey y'all, it's Sophie. I'm interrupting the podcast because I need to tell you some things. The first thing I need to tell you is that you can buy a signed copy of Melanie's new book, Church of the Small Things, at barnesandnoble.com. I don't know if you remember this from Melanie's blog and her social media, but she used a lot of Sharpies, y'all, to sign her name that many times. So if you'd like one of those fancy signed copies of Church of the Small Things, go to barnesandnoble.com and you can search for Melanie's book, or you can look in the show notes of this podcast and I will have a link. And you can click right on through. The second thing I wanted to mention is maybe you've been listening to this podcast and you thought, gosh, my life would be so much richer and deeper and better if I could just see what Sophie and Melanie post on Instagram. Chances are approximately zero of you have thought that, but just on the off chance that you'd like to see more of our dogs, or maybe you would like to see more of sunsets, because I'm going to post about them probably once a week. Here's what you do. You come find us on the Instagram. Melanie is there at Melanie Shankle, and I am there at BooMama205. And then if you'd like to keep up with us on Facebook, because why not? We have a Big Boo Cast Facebook page at facebook.com/TheBigBooCast. And then you can find either one of us on our blogs. Mine is boomama.net and Melanie's is thebigmamablog.com. Okay, we will now return to our podcast about small things. Okay, here's my next one. And this one's a little touchy-feely. So just sorry.
We'll go with it.
Mm-hmm. I know, we're going to go with it. But you know that a couple of years ago, David and I became part of a small group at church with some other families who had similarly aged kids, kind of with the idea that we live in a town where we don't have family, and we just wanted kind of tighter community with people who are in sort of the same spot we are right now. And it's been a really sweet thing, but here's what my specific thing is that, so when we have our small group on Sunday mornings, we go to church at 11 and we all sit on the same row. Mm-hmm. And there's something about being on that row, and seeing those kids. Like, I feel like that's going to be like a perspective again, like you think about a camera being stationed at the end of that row and watching these kids, like even over the last 2 years, how they've grown up. And, you know, and seeing like their relationships with each other and all that kind of stuff, that's been really, really sweet. I don't know. I'm really mindful of it. Just like we were saying, you know, you just kind of, we're in the single digit version of how many years we have left with Alex at home. We're on actually the one-handed version of how many years we have left with Alex at home. And so, I don't know. There's just something about Sunday mornings looking down and seeing those kids and watching them laugh and sometimes watching them fight and watching them argue, but seeing how the Lord has knit together their hearts too. And I don't know. It just, it makes me, it makes me small, real big. And just to see those relationships at work. So that's a small thing.
I love that.
That's something that was not, that was not a part of our daily life, even 2.5, 3 years ago. So it's real sweet to see how that's developed and over time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's how that stuff is it just, you don't, there again, it's like, you can't try, it just happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I don't know, I'm real, real grateful for it. And, so I don't know, that's that.
Okay. All right. My next thing is equally is sentimental, and it is the new gapped ribbed leggings.
I want to talk about these. I want to talk about
I put them on Fashion Friday. Did you see them?
Yes, ma'am. I want to talk about them.
Okay. I'm going to tell you, they're so soft.
Okay.
So a couple of years ago, and I have several pairs of these, but I had bought these Gap. They were a similar, they were like a Gap pajama legging. And I bought them and I loved them, but they're a little bit more of a winter, like they're just a little too thick. So I can't wear them year round, although I do like them. But these gapped ribbed leggings, they are so comfortable. They're so soft. I can't even tell you, I love them so much. They're just like the perfect, like I bought one pair and I was like, I'll take them home and see. And like now I want them in every color because I'm afraid it's one of those things because Gap has a way of they make something like that and they'll never make them again. And I never want to be without them again for the rest of my life.
Okay. Are they in, because I just went to, so are they pajama leggings? Is that what they're called?
They're pajama leggings. So they were hanging in with the pajamas. Or when I got them. So like usually in like wherever the Gap body side of your store is.
Okay. So they have, I'm seeing pure body crop leggings. Are yours full length?
They're full length and they're called like Gap ribbed leggings. Hold on. I'm going to find them. Striped ribbed sleep leggings.
Okay. Hold on.
That's what they are.
I'm just saying it's 40% off on Gap today. So that's why.
Striped rib sleep leggings.
Okay. I don't know if I'm going to be able to find them here on the spur of the moment, but you really like them that much.
I really love them that much. Like when I went into the store, they were 40% off, which is like, I just needed something because I just needed something that was a little softer and kind of, you know, this time of year, I feel like it's tricky because you're kind of heading into fall, but you know, it's still hot. But these, I love the waistband, like everything is like super soft. So they're just comfortable, like nothing binds you, nothing feels tight. But they're cute. They're real cute and they're super soft.
Okay.
I love them.
I'm going back to your blog to get the link because I'm not doing well on my own with this, but it's very important to me that I order. That I order some.
They were number 10, I think, that day on Fashion Friday. They were at the end. I just threw them in. The striped rib sleep leggings. Yes. I originally got them in indigo, but they also have them in gray and they have them in pink. And when I put those on with my Blartigan, I feel real happy.
Yeah. Life's not much better. Doesn't get much better than that.
No.
Mm-mm.
Okay. And they have 4.8 stars, which I feel like on Gap, anytime you get something reviewed with almost consistent 5-star, that's a good product.
Okay, I think I'm going to get the indigo, I think.
Yeah, I felt the indigo. And I also got myself a sleep sweatshirt to go with them.
Well, how could you not?
Well, because you know, you've seen it. You know, I've had that Anthropology. You know that one I've had forever that's like got like the shawl collar and the whole. And like the elbows on it have gotten so worn. Because I've worn it. I mean, I wear it like it was almost like my robe. Like I just put it on in the morning because our house is always cold in the morning. I've worn it for so long. And I realized when I had to sign all those books for Barnes and Noble, I wore the skin off my elbows because that the inside.
Bless it. That is a sad tale.
And you know, a skinned elbow hurts. And then you want to be like, if people are like, what'd you do? And you're like, well, I wore my sweatshirt while I was sitting on the couch.
That I've been wearing for some time now.
But I've loved that sweatshirt. And I've even looked for it on eBay to see if I could find one that somebody was selling. Because I'm real sad, but it's about to be gone. It's going to have to go. It's time. So I bought a replacement at Gap.
Okay, I'm about to press order on those leggings.
Okay.
You'll be happy to know. Let's place.
They're super cute.
Well, I think I'll wear the dog out of them. I think I'll wear
they're the perfect thing to come home and put on.
Okay, done and done.
And I love, because you're like me, where it's like, because you've got a teenager and you've got kids coming in and out of your house, like you still need to look some version of dressed, even when you put on your lounge clothes.
Yeah, that's a whole separate discussion. But yes, it is. There are parts of that that are
having to wear a bra around the house. Listen. I know. These are the struggles we face.
By the same token, you don't want to scare the children. So you do what you have to do. Don't want to.
I'm real sorry. I'd just taken a drink of water when you said that.
So love requires sacrifice.
Yes, it does.
Golly,
you don't want to scare the children.
Don't want to scare the children.
You don't want to be a tale they tell people when they're older. I never will forget that time I went to Miss Hudson's house.
That's right. It's like Phoebe when she and Rachel see Chandler and Monica through the windows, and she starts going, "My eyes, my eyes."
Yes. I went to Miss Shankle's house and I was scared straight. I will never doubt the effects of gravity ever again.
That's right. Listen, it was a lesson. Oh, God. That's what it was. Yep. It's a lesson.
Yep. Okay. What's yours? Do you have one?
So my other one is, I have a backup tea, but the last thing I listed was laughter with old friends. I don't think there's any kind of laughing quite as cathartic and therapeutic as when you laugh with the people who have known you a really long time.
Yeah. I agree. I totally agree with that. Yep. That's why I think a girl's weekend, like if you've got college friends or your high school friends or whoever your friends are, I mean, that do not underestimate what a weekend with them will do for your soul.
Yeah, I mean, I get so excited about seeing my college friends, and I know you're the same way. I get so excited because, mm-hmm. like, the first thing I think is we're gonna laugh so much. Like,
yeah,
we're gonna laugh our heads off, and I think it's just because you have such a history of that. But even like my friend Tracy the other night was at a wedding reception in my hometown. I hope she doesn't care that I'm telling on her. And she was trying, the state Georgia game was on, and she was trying to figure out who were the state fans and who were the Ole Miss fans, so she would know kind of where was a safe place to stand. And she sent me pictures. I'm like, Tracy, I don't know these people. I have not lived there in 25 years. Like, I don't know. I cannot help you. But I was so tickled that here we are in our 40s, and she is sending me pictures from a wedding reception so she can gauge where her allies are in a football game. Like, I don't know. There's just something about it. I don't know. I mean, it's great to laugh all the time with anybody.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I mean, you're always going to have a fun time if you're laughing, but it's the combination, I think, of old stories and people who have seen you at some of the most humbling, maybe even humiliating points in your life.
Yes, yes.
And get reference that you could possibly make.
Yeah, yeah. And they know all the old players and all the old stuff. And that you feel safe enough with them that you can all kind of make fun of each other, too. You know, like you can, that you can bring stuff up. And nothing's better than old friends.
That's one of my very, very, very favorite things. So, and again, I like to laugh more than just about anything. But I really love... There's something about laughing, I don't know, especially like you said, if you're on a girls' weekend or you get to see each other unexpectedly or whatever, there's just a comfort there and an ease and all good things. All good small things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It's the best. I totally agree. There's nothing that lifts you up more than that. So, because my friends Jamie and Trevor and Gully, we've even gotten to where, like on Aggie football Saturdays, we're all in a group text together. Because, you know, Trevor he was friends with Gully and me before he met Jamie because we used to all be friends in college. And so it's just so fun too, because we know all of each other's jokes. We have all of each other's, you know, it's just, and so we get so tickled on our text every Saturday. It makes Aggie football worth watching.
That's right. Yeah. It's the best. And now, like, even a couple of weeks ago at the state LSU game, and I went to Daphne's tailgate tent, and then Emma Kate came up because she had been tailgating with some families from the town where she lives, and it was so hot, and I don't know, there was just, and we were so tickled, and it was just, I don't know, it's just funny, and they just, there's not an ounce of pretense, or, and you don't even have to pretend to care, like,
Yeah.
You know, when you're annoyed or you're been out of shape or whatever, because you know you're safe. And so it's good. Those old friendships are so good.
It is good. It is good. Wow, that's a good one. Okay, my last one there again, I think, I don't know if I've mentioned these or not. I feel like I have, but my new favorite snack, this is not an ad. This is a legit favorite snack. Or it's called, they're somersaults is what they are.
What? You have not mentioned these to me.
Oh, okay. Well, they are good. And I'm going to tell you that they are gluten free. And stop. I didn't even do that on purpose.
Here I go.
They're somersaults. Hold on. I'm looking them up to tell you what their official. So they're made of sunflower seeds. Do you see them?
Yes, I do.
So I get them at Central Market. They do not have them at our regular HEB. So just know you may have to go to some sort of specialty, you know, or more a different kind of grocery store. Or I think you can find them on Amazon. I like the salt and pepper because they're a little bit, it's the same reason I like the spicy kombucha. They just have a little bit of a kick to them. But they are so dang good and they're filling. Like they've become my new, like, if I realize I haven't eaten lunch and I just need something to tide me over, like if I'll eat some of those, it's like they're so filling and they're so delicious.
Okay. Is the Pacific sea salt with the kind that you like, or is there an actual salt and pepper kind?
There's an actual salt and pepper. There's an actual salt and pepper. I just bought the Pacific sea salt to try, but I have not tried them yet. And they have some that are in some sweeter, like they have a cinnamon, but I don't know about that. Yeah. I personally like the salt and pepper because it's real savory.
Okay. You've got a gluten-free snack option. Yes. Uh-huh. I just found them.
Yeah. You're going to love them. I mean, like you really are going to love them, and they're good for you. Like Gully looked them up on like her Weight Watchers points. And I think, you know, if you're a Weight Watchers points person, it's like you can have like 14 of them for like 4 points or something. And they're really filling. Like, I don't think you'd eat 14 of them because they're kind of bite size, but they are delicious.
Okay. So do you think I like them enough to buy 3 bags of them?
I do. I feel that confident.
They're in a 3-pack on Amazon. And so I want to be wise. You know, I don't want to.
In the salt and pepper. I feel confident enough. To me, I feel like you and I have a pretty similar taste palettes. So I feel like you would like them. I originally bought them because I was looking for something healthy to go in Caroline's lunch. And she, for whatever reason, did not like them. I still can't figure out why. But I love them. And Gully loves them. I think you'll love them.
Okay. I'm all about it. I'm about to order me some.
Yeah. They're delicious.
Okay. So I spoke recently in Tuscaloosa at a church there, and you know how when you go into churches and they're real sweet to always give you little happies and little gifts snacks or whatever. Well, this time, one of the girls who was planning the event makes homemade jelly. And so she gave me some hot pepper jelly, and then she gave me some peach habanero jelly. Now, I want you to imagine a block of cream cheese.
Mm.
You know where this is going, right?
Uh-huh.
And then put that peach habanero homemade jelly on top. Pretty much.
That sounds so good.
That, and I feel like these somersaults that I have not even tried could play into this whole situation very beautifully. Like, you know what I mean? Because I love those Crunchmaster crackers that are gluten-free. And I like that they have all different, you know, they have a rosemary and olive oil. There's a roasted garlic. There's some kind of artisanal cheese blend. But I really think that these somersaults are going to be a blessing.
Yeah, I think the somersaults are going to add a new snack option. I feel like they would be good for you to keep at your desk at school.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yes. Like it takes the place of, I was so tired of eating almonds. Like I kept feeling like almonds were like my go-to, like if I needed to grab a handful of something, and this has taken the place of that.
Okay. I feel like this has been very encouraging to me in this moment. Look at the small things. Look at the somersaults.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Nick, the somersaults. And they are small, but they are delicious.
Okay. I'm so happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are good. They are good. So there you have it.
That was a pretty good varied list of small things.
Well, you know, here's what I'm going to tell you. I feel like we've learned from this podcast is it's amazing what we can accomplish if we put just a tiny little bit of forethought into maybe what we're going to talk about.
How about that? How about the power of a list?
If we just kind of maybe beforehand say, hey, what are we going to talk about? Maybe write down some thoughts instead of just getting on there and going, what do you talk about? I don't know. What do you want to talk about?
The 60 seconds of prep time that took. How about that?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how that paid off. Okay. Now, but I will say in that, I just read this article and I was telling Caroline about it yesterday and I thought it was really interesting and I'll send you the link. But it was somebody put it on Facebook. I can't remember. It's where I find all my news these days is mm-hmm. on a Facebook sure. linked article. But it was about, I think it was at Stanford University, and they had done a study and they talked about the difference, how kids had raised their test scores, like how kids were raising their test scores across mm-hmm. the board. And they had done a study, and it was basically like, I found it because it was like a researcher's study that's like, take your B+ student to an A student. Okay. And so I was like, okay. But it talked about the difference between, which you're a teacher, so you're going to be like, yeah. They did two test groups of like kids that made equal grades across the board, were the same types of students, same IQ, you know, all that kind of stuff. So two equal groups. But the difference between the group, if you just told them you've got a test in, you know, 5 days, you've got a test next week. And then a group that they really encouraged too, that when they said you have a test, that they had to mentally think about what they needed to do to be successful on that test, like what information they thought was going to be on that test, what study materials they'd been given to prepare for that test, like, and just to actually think about it and break it down. And it wasn't that they spent any more time studying. It was that it focused in. So they weren't just frantically studying. They really thought about what were the things we learned? What do I think we're going to need to know, and how it made a difference in their grades?
That's so interesting.
And it eliminated their stress. And so much of it was just kind of visualizing, like, what do you, and like setting in your mind, like, this is the grade I'd like to make on this test. Like, I want to make this grade. What do I need to do to achieve that grade? What do I need to study to have a chance of making that grade? And it talked about how those students ultimately were less stressed going into the test because they felt like they were better prepared.
So what you're saying is we need to sit down, the two of us, and we need to think, what do we want out of this podcast?
Yes.
What do we want this for? How do we, what is our goal for this episode? This is pretty much how you and I really roll on everything, as you know, like very goal oriented.
Yes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes. So, but what they said, so I just pulled it up but it said students often just jump mindlessly into studying before they have strategized what to use without understanding why they are using each resource and without planning how they would use each resource to learn effectively. And so they don't think about it.
That makes total sense to me, especially if you knew what was going on in this house last Thursday night when Alex was trying to study for a Spanish test. Like, which was me saying, you cannot study by looking at your iPad screen and then putting it down and then looking at, like, you've got to engage all your senses. Like, we had this huge thing about this, but it's exactly what you're saying. Maybe if he had sat down ahead of time and thought, okay, like, mm-hmm. what are some different ways I can prepare? Because I think you get so bored, too, when you study. Like, mm-hmm. if you're just going to look at your notes, like, you're over that in 5 minutes. And so you got to figure out some ways to challenge yourself as you study. And that's kind of a drag, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I thought it was kind of interesting because it was, and the study was done with like 12 to 13 year olds. So like okay. our age kids. Uh-huh. And it just talked about how they did so much better when they taught, like when they sat and evaluated and really thought about what they were going to do to be successful. And I told Caroline that, which I know she always appreciates my pregame soccer talks, but
yes.
I was like, mm-hmm. I said, but you can also apply that to soccer. I said, what do you want to do on the field? You know, what do you need to do to be successful? What do you need to do to make that thing happen or whatever? But I'm like, you can apply it. What do you need to do to make your podcast more interesting? So you're not just rambling.
Right.
I don't know.
A little forethought is really what we're saying across the board.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to send you that link right now so you'll have it. But it's interesting. Mm-hmm. Because it was like, they were like, it's a 15-minute deal. Like, they just had those students take 15 minutes to answer, like, what do you need to study? What resources do you have? How can you use those resources? That's it. And then just having that plan made them more effective.
So you just take some time to get focused.
Yes. Yes. That has never really been my strong suit.
Not me either, really. not so much. No. We were talking about fear in small group recently and about, like, what do we fear and all that kind of stuff. And Anyway, we were talking, we've been reading the Louis Giglio book called Goliath Must Fall. Mm-hmm. Anyway, one of the things, it was like, you know, you can, one of the things that a lot of people fear is losing control and how they go into any situation and they think, well, if I were in charge of this, I would make it better, like by doing this, 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 and this. And mm-hmm. I was just sitting there shaking my head. And our friend Joel said, what, that's not you. And I was like, not even a little bit. Like, I am never looking at a situation thinking like, how could we make this better? How could we really challenge ourselves? What if we tried it? I am so content with like just to roll on in. And that's not always my best quality.
No, no. Mm-hmm. And you and I share that. And I think that's why we've gotten ourselves in some situations that maybe we're not prepared as we should have been.
A little bit.
Because we're like, I think we'll just get there and figure it out. Don't you think we'll just... Yeah. Uh-huh. We'll get there and figure it out. It'll all work out. Yeah. It'll all work out. And, you know, sometimes not so much. Sometimes doesn't always just work out.
Not really. I feel like we learned that lesson early. Because I do now tend to be obsessively prepared almost if I go into a speaking situation. I know what stories I'm telling. I got a list. But, yeah, my natural disposition, though, my natural lean is not to try to control all the variables. And so, I think that's one reason why look at us, boy, we had 10 things to talk about. We talked about all 10 and
I know.
Mm-hmm. What a wonder this time.
What a wonder. Mm-hmm. What a wonder. Look at us. So, oh God.
Stay tuned for more themed podcasts. We might get around to it in about 2 years. So
yeah. It only took us 84 to get to this one, or 83 or whatever number we're on.
Some 80 number. So. Yeah, that's right.
Uh-huh. Okay. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Okay. Well, welcome to the World Church of the Small Things. We hope it is the best week of launch and reading and soaking up everybody's kind words. And it's going to be a good one. It's going to be a good one to all the people who read it.
Thank you. I hope y'all love it. And thank you to everybody who's ordered it. I really do appreciate it. So it makes it possible for us to sit and stew and worry about writing more books when y'all buy books. So thank you for that. Thank you for that gift.
Mm-hmm. Oh. All right. We will talk to y'all soon. And I'm going to, we'll for sure have some links up about all the great places that you can pick up a copy of Church of the Small Things if you haven't already.
Bye, everybody.
We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Blow me a kiss from across the room. Say I look nice when I'm not. Touch my hair as you pass my chair. Little things mean a lot.